Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
34 degrees on this Wednesday. Adam Carter in for Chad. We appreciate all the guests we've had today. And coming up next segment, you're going to want to stay tuned, especially if you're a fan, if you lived through the 1991 Halloween blizzard, or if you think it's so overhyped and wish people would stop talking about it, you don't want to miss our guest coming up in about 10 minutes. That's all I'm going to say right now. But right now, huge news made out of the Vatican, where Pope Francis today became the first pontiff to endorse same-sex civil unions in comments he made for a documentary that premiered today, sparking cheers from gay Catholics and demands for clarification from conservatives, of course, given the Vatican's official teaching on the issue. And Dan Cook, you often speak to issues of faith and issues of religion on this show. Mm-hmm. And can I get your estimation of how significant an announcement this is from a sitting pope?
Well, I mean, it's enormous in that it comes from a pope, and no previous pope has ever said anything quite like this. So in that regard, it's huge. It's also kind of a subtle approach to it. And I think this is the genius of Francis when it comes to these moments, because you remember early on in his papacy, he was on, I think it was on the papal jet and meeting with reporters, mm-hmm. and basically said, you know, who am I to judge,
right.
Folks. Now, when he said that, he was talking about folks who don't consider them to be Christian, themselves to be Christians, right? Which is actually very much scriptural. If you look in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians, he talks about not judging people that are outside the community, because that's, you know, they haven't invited, if they haven't invited us to be part of their lives, if they haven't invited us to be speaking into their lives, we don't know what we don't know. And so to try and judge them without that kind of, you know, in-depth relational information is folly, according to Paul. And that was what Francis was getting at there. He wasn't endorsing homosexuality in any regard in that particular situation, but people's hair caught on fire and were screaming and hollering, and there had to be clarification. So it doesn't surprise me a bit that the conservatives are going to push back and be demanding clarification here, because this would seem to be a much more – it isn't an endorsement of LGBTQ the community, but it's certainly a move in that direction, a significant shift in that direction. In saying that the church should not necessarily oppose civil unions, of course, he's not saying at all that the church should then marry gay people. That's not what he's saying. But he's trying to carve out some sort of middle road by saying we're not going to insert ourselves into the lives of people who don't consider themselves part of us in the one sense. He's also calling for room, though, in the church for gay people to have a Catholic family, right, to have be part of the Catholic Church. That's, to me, almost a bigger story than endorsing civil unions, although, again, endorsing civil unions is huge. But the fact that he's trying to carve out room in the Catholic Church for people who are gay, who are lesbian, who are part of the LGBTQ plus community, to have a Catholic experience, to have a Catholic faith, to be part of that. And that, to me, is the enormous part of it, because for too long, in my opinion now, I'm just speaking for myself, for too long, a religion of Christianity that was built on going to the marginalized, on going to the othered, mm-hmm. going to the people that society, as I do scare quotes, had pushed to the outside and saying, no, you have value, you are created in the image of your creator, and we want to embrace you, and we want to help you, we want to, you know, help the poor, help the widowed, help the ostracized, help the lame, the sick, all of that, the people that we go to that had been pushed to the margins by society, that was what Christianity was very much built on. Part of the reason Christianity spread so far, so fast, so wide is because when you had situations like a plague hitting a town, the folks that, you know, had the money and had the means to help would split, right? Because they didn't want to be part of the plague. And it was the Christians that hung around and dug in and tried to help help people through their sickness, through their illness, often catching the illness, catching the plague, and dying themselves. And when people saw Christians doing that, they were just astonished and wondering, why are you doing this? Well, this is what I'm called to through my faith in Jesus Christ, was the answer. And that just, that was a huge part of why it spread. And so for that to be the basis of the church, and then for the church to then turn around and over the last half century to a century, be so responsible for pushing a community away, for saying, no, you are horrible sinners. We want no part of you. You don't get anything. You don't, we're not, you're not a Christian. You're not a part of us. You're not in any way, shape, or form having a part in what we're trying to do, to me is antithetical.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a theological debate over what the Bible says. And there are people who are absolutely certain in their minds that the Bible says that homosexuality is sinful. I don't believe that.
They'll quote you verse too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's six verses in the Bible, and they'll quote one of the six, or they'll quote all six at you, that would seem to address homosexuality. But I think when you really dig into the scriptures, when you dig into the original languages, when you dig into the cultural context in which those passages were written, I think there's room to have an understanding about why it was written, when it was written, and what does that necessarily mean in our time, in our place, because I'm not sure it's apples to apples. Again, I want to give grace to folks that disagree with me on that, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of texts coming in, and that's fine. But to me, there needs to be room for the conversation. And automatically shoving people to the side because we've decided that the sin that we've decided that they're committing, and again, I'm doing scare quotes there, is so egregious that they can't possibly be a part of us. To me, that's antithetical to the roots and the nature of Christianity. And I say that we had a text come in earlier in the show, and I'm just going to read it because I think this sort of speaks to why this is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Dan, given your religious studies, I hope you comment on the huge news out of Rome and Pope Francis's comment on civil unions for LGBTQ folks. While it's not full marriage, this is huge and a significant step in the right direction. Big stuff for gay Catholics like me. Keep up the good work, Adam and Dan. That's the whole. There's a community of folks that desperately want to follow Christ, that definitely want to be part of a Christian community, and can't help feeling that they love who they love, regardless of the gender involved. And there needs to be room in the church for that discussion. There needs to be room in the church, in my opinion, for that conversation to happen, for folks to not feel ostracized. Because in the end, we're all sinners. And when you try to rank sin and you try to say, well, that sin means you're out, you go down a rabbit hole that's just not helpful and not healthy for anybody. And you're actually, again, doing the very thing that Christ modeled us not to do. You know, Christ went to those folks who are on the margins and said, let me embrace you, come follow me. He didn't shove them away. He didn't tell them that they had no place. And that's the model that I kind of choose to follow.
And that's the model that I also choose to follow, and certainly not as knowledgeable as you do, but I learned that through college courses on theology.
Sure.
On who Jesus was,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the Jesus that we're taught in Sunday school and through church at the vision of Jesus that we're taught, and that the difference between Jesus, the idea, and Jesus, the man, the actual man. And I always, I feel the same way you do. I check myself too, because I think, you know, this is 2020, and this is society evolving. And if the church can't evolve with society, how do you expect more people to come to the church? But at the same time, I do realize that you're talking about histories and traditions, and that people who grew up in the church, strictly in the church, realize that that is what I cling to, and that is what that basis. That is why I have the belief system I have, and it's
sure.
I'll
push back, yep, just in this regard.
Sure,
I think there's an ethic in Christianity, and there's an ethic in Scripture about not conforming to society. So when you say society is evolving and the church has to evolve too,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case.
Right,
but I would say this, that I think there's a lot of people that think that we know everything that we're going to know in Scripture and about God, and that's been settled and sealed and done, and that there's no further discussion necessary. And I think that's a problem.
Yep.
I think our understanding of God is evolving. God doesn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But our understanding of him can evolve. And our understanding, you know, as we gain more and more copies, you know, I'm getting weighed in the weeds in terms of of scriptural analysis. But as we get more and more copies and become more and more sure of what scripture originally said in, again, the original languages and, again, in the cultural context, that's a huge part of it that I think a lot of people don't get into is, while I certainly believe that scripture was inspired and influenced by the Holy Spirit, it was still written in a human context at a certain time, at a certain place. And the cultural conditions surrounding when that was those scriptures were written is vastly, vastly different than our time now. And if you don't understand scripture in the time and place that it was written, with all of those contextual cues and all of the influences of it, then it's really, really hard to pick up the passages that have been translated from Greek or Hebrew into English and apply them to our time here and now. And I think we need to spend more time digging into time and place and where it was and what was going on as these things were written to better understand the lessons that are there in scripture for us to live out today.
We all should be so knowledgeable about a topic to make it so eloquent to speak about it as you just did.
You're very kind.
Well, no, the texters agree with me. Very good stuff, and that's why I wanted to bring it up with you, because you obviously could talk much more eloquently about it.
Yeah, let's just blow out Paul and Jordana, and we'll just do 3 more hours.
3 more is a religion. There you go. But how did God feel about the 91 blizzard? That's my point.
That's a great question.
Was he sending us a sign? Maybe so.
We don't know.
Well, a guy who wants to memorialize the 91 blizzard, yes, he wants. If you think it's overrated, he doesn't. We'll talk to him coming up next after we check weather and traffic. Adam in for Chad. It's Wednesday on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.